Glad that you're here tonight. We welcome you. We're thankful that we can come together on Sunday evening like this on such a beautiful Lord's Day to worship and serve the Lord. I don't know why I'm nervous tonight. It must be that I've heard a lot of good sermons, young and old. And I appreciate all the ones that we've been listening to and certainly appreciate the good work they're doing. Tonight, we have begun today a series of lessons looking unto Jesus. And tonight we're going to talk about the subject of living right. You remember in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, that's the theme, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down to the right hand of the throne of God. The series this month is emphasizing the focusing upon Jesus. And surely, tonight, as we think about the question, is it possible for us to live right when the majority of the world is living wrong? I carry you back to Jesus. On one occasion in the Bible, where we read in Matthew chapter 23 at verse 37, here the Lord is looking over Jerusalem. And the Bible says, Jesus makes this statement, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Think about that. Here's what Jesus is saying. How often would I have gathered them? These people that he loves so very much, looking out over the city of Jerusalem. And as he makes this statement, he asks the question, why? Because as he answers it, you would not. Oh, how sad. Surely there are problems in 2019. Last week we heard some good sermons on some of the problems and troubles in our world. And in politics, men and women accused of lying, being dishonest, hypocritical. In the field of entertainment, sex, deviance, bad language, no respect for God-ordained marriages. In the law of the land, endorsing gay marriage, death of unborn abortion, birth control, and all kinds of different problems that we have in 2019. There are some statements made that cannot be contested from the word of the Lord. Look, for example, in 1 John 2 and verses 15 through 17. There we find that John writes, love not the world. Now, there's a reason. The world itself, God has made it. The people that are in it have a grave responsibility to respect the Creator. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I cannot contest that statement. I know that it's true. It was true because the Apostle John, as he wrote those given the inspiration of God, wrote down the truth. And then he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Here we find that John says, don't love the world. God tells us not to love the world. And then he says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The statement is so true, and yet so many people are loving this mundane world. Already the Bible says, don't love the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Yes, my friends, Jesus makes the statement in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. He says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, And he uses the terminology many, and many there be which go in thereat. Going where? Opposite of the direction surely that they want to go. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I can't contest that statement. I know it's true. It was made by the Lord. There's going to be many that will be lost. God doesn't want a single one to be lost. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't that a beautiful statement? Here the Bible makes it clear, God is not willing that any should perish. And surely none of us who are Christians want anybody to perish. We don't want our mother, our father, our husbands, our wives. We don't want our children to perish. And the Bible tells us God doesn't either. And yet, the Bible teaches us very clearly how we can be saved so that we will not perish. And the Bible says that many will not listen to that. They are rejecting the way of salvation for them. Only few there be, Jesus said, that find it. In John 17, Jesus speaks, I have given them thy word, Jesus said, and the world hath hated them. You mean people are going to hate the people that love God, who speak the word of the Lord? Listen to him. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. There's the reason. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. What is Jesus saying? I'm praying for my apostles. I'm praying for those, Father, that you have given to me. But I'm not praying that you remove them out of the world. Yes, there is all kinds of wickedness in the world. I'm not praying that you remove them out of the world. Look at it. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil, for they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We have to understand to live right. We understand that we've got to be on the right course. In John 14, verse 6, which is a passage that Matt used this morning, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so the question, is it possible for right-thinking people to live in a wicked world and live right? Well, the obvious answer is yes. That's why Jesus talked about his apostles. Yes, a person can live right in a wicked world. Well, let's ask Joshua. Over in the book of Joshua 23, verses 11 through 13, the Bible says Joshua speaking to the children of Israel, take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Oh, I like that. Joshua, what are you saying? Love God. Love the Lord. Else, if you do not do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Know for a certainty. Listen to that. Joshua's saying, don't do what the world is doing. You be sure you understand. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive any out of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Joshua, what are you saying? God is speaking through Joshua to these people. He wants them to do right and live right. Can they do that? Listen again. And behold, Joshua said, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. I'm going to die. I'm leaving. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls, you know this, that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Joshua, you're standing up before these people and you're saying what? I want you to know something for a surety. I want you to understand something for a surety, that God has not failed you in one single thing. Remember when Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. Matthew 11:28-30. Remember that beautiful passage in Matthew 28 where Jesus said, beginning in verse 18, all power, authority hath been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Not one thing, Joshua says. And you can say that about Christ. No wonder. He says, therefore, it shall come to pass. That is, all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you. So shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he have destroyed from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. If you don't listen to him, you don't live right, you'll not be the recipient of the blessings of those that are righteous before God. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, bowed yourselves to them, then shall the end of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given to you. Joshua, what are you telling these people? It's dependent upon them making the decision. They're going to have to do what? Have to live right. Can they do it? Yes. How can they be assured of it? God's not failed them. Not one single thing that God had promised they could point out and said that he hadn't kept his promise. Friend, let me tell you, that means us too. And there Joshua, when he's about to die. Joshua 24:14-15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and look what he says. Take close attention to what Joshua says. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. There's no service acceptable unto God that is not sincere and according to the truth. And Joshua said to these people, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, if that's your rationalization, if that's your decision, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. If that's your choice, you make your own choice. But Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He'd made up his mind. He wanted his people, his family, to serve the Lord. And he did. Joshua lived right in a wicked time. And my friend, when we turn to Elijah, we see a great prophet of God in 1 Kings chapter 19. Here's what God says. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. That's Elijah speaking. Because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life. Elijah, what are you saying? People are killing all of God's people. I don't have anybody. He says, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Methol, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet, now God speaks. We heard from Elijah. Elijah said, I'm the only one serving God. Oh, friend, he was so mistaken about that. He was serving God, and what a good thing it was. God reminded him, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. And look, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. God said, I have people. You don't know about them. But they're living right. I have 7,000 in Israel. All the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. So Elijah served the Lord. Ask Peter. Peter, is it possible for us to live right when the world is so wrong, when the majority of the world is not listening to God? And Peter answers, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, what are you making a statement about? Yes, you can live right in a world that's living all wrong. He sought himself to do so. Is it possible in 2019, our days in which we live, for us to live right in a world that is so wrong? Many young people are faithfully walking and serving the Lord. I'm just so happy to see young men like we have who are committed themselves to preaching and teaching the Word of the Lord and do it so effectively. They don't take drugs. We've got so many that do not engage in illicit sexual relationships. We've got people that do not even look at porn. We've got young people that do not drink whiskey. We've got young people, my friend, they don't join gangs. We've got young people that have not gone bad. There may be few, but there's there. Elijah thought he was the only one. God said, I've got 7,000. How many has today? I'm amazed and admire our young people for taking the stand for truth and saying no to those things that can destroy them. And then what about those that are older? Ah, we've got some that are doing right, living lives that are right. They've corrected their sinful ways. They may have done things that are wrong, but they hastened to the blood of Jesus to be cleansed of their sin. 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. Yet if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Yes, older people, they don't conform to this old world. We know better. We want to live right. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We've got old people that are just so sincere. I mean, they are so sincere from their heart. They're ready to do God's will, just like Joshua told those people. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And we've got older people who love the truth and seek to live by Proverbs 35 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Yes, we must love God. We must love one another, because we are living lives to please the Father in a world that didn't have time for God. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophet. I can live right and you can too. We've got to make up our minds. Yes, I suggest I can't help it if you will not attend faithfully the services, but I can pray for you. I can't help it if people make decisions to try to get elders to change the order to fit their own wishes. But I can pray for you and they can too. I can not help it. Parents sometimes, when their children go astray, what will we do? We'll do everything we can to hasten to get them back into the Lord, just like the prodigal son's daddy. Yes, who's begging to bring it back. I can live right by doing right. Things we can do is that we can walk. You may not want to speak to me, but I can speak to you. You may not want to think or think I'm any good to the Lord's cause, but I can work for Him to bring others to Him. Yes, you may wish that I would just go away, but I can pray that God will bless you and help you. Because you see, in serving the Lord, you want everybody to be ready to meet the Lord. Living right means doing right. It means we lift up each other. We seek to encourage one another. We help our brother, our sister, who may be striving hard and they have difficulties that you do not know anything about. How often do people come to me and say, please pray for me? How often do people ask you for you to pray for them? I remember the song that we've sung so many times. If I have wounded any soul today, if I have caused one foot to go astray, if I have walked in my own willful way, dear Lord, forgive. If I have uttered idle words or vain, if I have turned aside from want or pain, lest I myself shall suffer through the strain, dear Lord, forgive. If I have been perverse or hard or cold, if I have longed for shelter in Thy fold, when Thou hast given me some fort to hold, dear Lord, forgive. Forgive the sins I have confessed to Thee. Forgive the secret sins I do not see. O guide me, love me, my keeper be. Dear Lord, forgive. We want to do what's right. God wants us to do right. It's up to us. Look at the examples. Yes, we need to be like Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to be like Elijah, dedicated to doing the Lord's will. And we need to be like Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go if we turn away from you? But can I live right? Will I live right? Three things to remember. I've got to know the truth, the way that is right. John 8:32, Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. I must decide myself if I will follow the truth, no matter what the cost. Psalms 119, 104 and 105, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then I must put it into practice. What I know to be right, and do it. Because I can live right in a world that is filled with so many things that are wrong. Yes, we can. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The final end for everybody under the sound of my voice will come for some soon. For some it will come. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. The final way to live right is to read the end of the book. The final, the last mile of the way. Jesus wins. And all those that are with him. The devil loses. And all those who have not lived right. Yes, the saints go up. And the sinners go down. Those that live right will end up right. And those that live wrong will end up wrong. Where will you be in eternity. I've used before, but I want to close with a poem. It says, "Forgive me when I whine." I don't know about you, sometimes we get into a place where we fail to really appreciate all the good things that we have. I was reading a number of things, and I won't be able to have them tonight in this sermon, but different people choose different places of Scripture to read. When they're in trouble, when they're sick, whatever it may be, they find that comfort and consolation in the Word of the Lord. Today, up on a bus, I saw a lovely maiden with golden hair. I envied her, so beautiful, and how I wished I were so fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and wore a crutch, but as she passed, she wore a smile. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet. The world is mine. And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, "It's nice to deal with you. Such courtesy I seldom find." He turned and said, "Oh, thank you, sir." And then I saw that he was blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes. The world is mine. Then when walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment, and then I said, "Why don't you join the others, dear?" He looked ahead without a word. I realized he could not hear. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears. The world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I would know, I am blessed indeed. The world is mine. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. We can, we will live a righteous life. We will be ready to meet the Lord. And we'll do all we can to help others to be in that relationship. Why not tonight? If you're in this assembly, you've never been baptized, here is water. What doth hinder you to be baptized? Won't you come now, believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing the name of Jesus, and being buried with your Lord in baptism to rise up and walk in a new life? If you're a child of God, you haven't lived faithfully, you know it, God knows it, others too. It's time to make things right with God. You can do that now. Won't you admit your error of your way, ask God to forgive you, and let us pray with you and for you. Can and is it possible for us to live right in a world that's living so wrongly? The obvious answer is absolutely. And with God's help, we will, because we want to go to heaven when we die. If you're subject anyway to His invitation, come to Him. Won't you obey Him while together we stand and while we sing to Him?